Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our Thanksgiving Eve service. We're thankful for light and for how it shines on all things. Praise the Lord. All right, let's begin our time together by turning to hymn number 790, and we'll sing We Gather Together, and we'll stand together as we sing. Another year that has passed since we met here under this purpose. We praise you for your goodness to us, your strengthening, your enabling, all that you have given us and blessed us with. And Father, we thank you for the privilege of being your children and of being able to gather together as brothers and sisters here at Pauling. We pray that as we fellowship together in this hour and as we worship you and thank you from our hearts for all that you have done, we pray that we will honor you and glorify your name, be lifted to your throne, and leave this place encouraged and filled with the spirit of praise and thanksgiving that you deserve. Bless this hour, we pray. Thank you for your spirit who is here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
I have a first Christmas card today. This is for the church. This is from Roy Todd. And he says, Dear Reverend Boyer, this is the one that I picked out, and also Steve picked out the very same one. So this has to be something that's preordained, I guess. Okay. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of the Lord. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Well, it's good to see each one of you here tonight. I think these we're all home folks, but it's good to see each one of you anyway. We don't have visitors, I don't think. But anyway, good to see you. And you have the offering plates on the back table, as you well know. So if you'd like to make a contribution, that'll be fine. And the announcements. Okay, Sunday is coming, right? This is Sunday. We have Sunday morning, Sunday school.
Thank you for the the joy of looking at what you have revealed to us. Bless this time, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The original Thanksgiving celebration was held by the Pilgrim settlers in Massachusetts during their second winter in America in December 1621. The first winter had killed 44 of the original 102 colonists. At one point, their daily food ration was down to 5 kernels of corn apiece. But then an unexpected trading vessel arrived, swapping them beaver pelts for grain, providing for their severe need. The next summer's crop brought hope, and Governor William Bradford decreed that December 13, 1621, be set aside as a day of feasting and prayer to show the gratitude of the colonists that they were still alive. These pilgrims, seeking religious freedom and opportunity in America, gave thanks to God for his provision for them in helping them find 20 acres of cleared land, for the fact that there were no hostile Native Americans in that area. By the way, I understand that they were blown off course. They weren't planning to go there, but because they did, they weren't confronted with an attack of any kind. For their newfound religious freedom, and for God's provision of an interpreter to the Native Americans in Squanto. Along with the feasting and games involving the colonists and more than 80 Native Americans who added to the feast by bringing wild turkeys and venison, prayers, sermons, and songs of praise were important in the celebration. 3 days were spent in feasting and prayer. I heard somebody else tell this story this week, and they said the Indians, they would curl up and sleep for the night, and then they stayed the next day. You know, they were expecting them to leave, but they stayed with them and celebrated for several days. From that time forward, Thanksgiving has been celebrated as a day to give thanks to God for his gracious and sufficient provision. President Abraham Lincoln officially set aside the last Thursday of November in 1863, quote, as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father, unquote. In 1941, Congress ruled that after 1941, the fourth Thursday of November be observed as Thanksgiving Day and be a legal holiday. And so here we are. That was from gotquestions.org. So you can even get some history from that Christian site. A great site, by the way, if you're looking for questions about the Word of God. It's never disappointed in checking things out there. Anything strike you from that story? Probably a lot of things. They were thankful after what? They lost 44 colonists. Almost half of the people that were there. But they were thanking God. How in the world, right? They had deadly hardship at first, but then they saw the Lord's hand providing, and they were grateful to him. When the times are tough, how do we give thanks? There's a powerful little passage in Philippians. It's tiny. It's just 2 verses. It helps, I believe, to show us how to be thankful, no matter what's going on. It's often quoted. I think sometimes it's not fully seen. There's a part of it in there that you could breeze right over, and it has everything to do with why we're here tonight. That passage is Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. If you have your Bibles and want to turn there. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Listen to these words. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Some passages are really jam-packed, and there is, it's such, a powerful message in just these verses as we consider Thanksgiving this year. A couple things to observe. How to be thankful in tough times. First of all, he has that stunning commandment, right? Be anxious for what? Nothing. Nothing. Well, no, wait, I should be anxious for, not according to this part of the Word of God. What does it mean to be anxious? To be troubled with cares. It's not, as one source said, it's not a call to a carefree life that he's talking about. To care and be genuinely concerned is one thing. To worry is another. Paul and Timothy cared for the people they ministered to, yet they retained trust in God. Jesus warned against worry, which obviously eliminates trust in God. There's another passage that is reminiscent of this in Matthew 6. You know the passage well. We've been believers for a while. 25 to 33. What does he say? Don't worry. Don't fret about your food, your clothing. It says that the world worries about that all the time. How am I going to eat? How am I going to... And Jesus said, don't worry about that. Don't fret about that. Your Father knows. See, here's the key. Your Father knows you need that. It's all about who God is. By the way, I might have a quiz in a minute. We read Psalm 103. Awesome psalm. There's a lot of stuff in there. If you're looking for some things to be thankful for, that's another jam-packed section. Maybe we'll ask you a little bit about that. What struck you from that passage? Don't be anxious. Now, the implication, of course, of this is that they were, right? Otherwise, you wouldn't have to tell them not to be. They had things that they were wrestling with. We have things. We had testimony shared. A tough year, but a blessing in the year, right? Be anxious for nothing. Things were going on. By the way, where was Paul when this was going on? He was imprisoned. He was under guard. He did not have his freedom when he wrote these words. There's a lot of things going on today, but in this passage we see how we can go through these trials with joy and with peace. So we have that stunning command, be anxious for nothing. We also have a startling comprehensiveness, is how I put it. I'm trying to put the S and C together so you do the little alliteration thing. Startling comprehensiveness. It says, be anxious for nothing, but what? In everything. Everything. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What does that mean? It means, you know, in everything. Is there a part of our lives that is separate from Him, or that He doesn't want to hear about, that He doesn't want us to talk to Him about? No. He cares about it all. Should we only pray in times of prayer? How about when you're going through the day? How about if you're feeling a little anxious about something? From this passage, what should we do? Pray. And not just pray, but pray with thanksgiving. See, that's important. I think we breeze over that a little bit when we think of this passage. Just, you know, pray and He'll give you... That's critical for the whole thing. It's a complete set. But in everything, as you're going through every moment of the day, God is with us every second of the day. Do you ever forget that He's there? In practicality, I mean, we know He's there, but when we're living our life, especially when things are hectic and crazy, that's the time when we should, the moment we have a second to do it, right? God, I'm feeling anxious. Let me bring this to You. Let me bring what is troubling me to You. How many times do we hold things in ourselves and not go to Him? Paul is telling us here to go to Him in everything. Reminds us of 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Be in that spirit of prayer. Ready to and what was that? Was it Nehemiah? I think it was Nehemiah. When he was concerned about his people, remember the story? And he had to ask permission of the king to go and check things out, and that was kind of, could put his life at risk, as I understand it. And because he wasn't looking happy, and the king was, "What's wrong? You look sad. You're not supposed to be sad in my presence." But he was actually genuinely concerned about him. But it says that he prayed. Nehemiah prayed in that instant, in that split second, for help. Wiersbe says that Paul counsels us to take everything to God in prayer. He says, "Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything," is his admonition. And he notes that we are prone to pray about the big things in life and forget to pray about the so-called little things until they grow and become big things. Talking to God about everything that concerns us and him is the first step toward victory over worry. Then we have a simple concept that comes after this, but in everything by prayer and supplication. What is prayer? Just talking to God. Do you have to do it a special way? With fancy words and whatever? No. No, you certainly hope not. Yeah. Yep. No. Just talk to him. Tell him what's on your mind. He loves you. He loves me. He cares about us. He cares about every little thing as well as the big things. Prayer is talking to God, and then supplication is entreating him, a petition, a seeking. You know, anytime we're in anxiety-prone situations, we have things we can ask God for. Lord, help, give me wisdom in this situation, how to address it. God, give me the words to say to this person, the issue that they're facing. All kinds of ways that we can, and the more we do that, the more our focus is on him. And we begin to have the victory that he has called us to have. And then we come to the surprising content that is fitting for this day and is what drew me to the passage. With thanksgiving. You're anxious. You're troubled. Something's wrong. You want to go to God. You're asking him for something. Why in the world would you be thankful? Right? The natural thought would be, well, now, right now I'm worried about something. I'll thank him later. But he's saying thank him now when you're offering up the prayer. So why should we thank him? What should we thank him for? We already talked about some of the testimonies given here. Here's the quiz. All right, here comes Psalm 103. Long list of stuff. It's not fair, I know. I shouldn't put you on the spot. But what is anything from that passage that struck you as Pastor Boyer was reading it? It says in there, well, first of all, he's talking, you can flip there if you want, Psalm 103. It's an open book quiz. Bless the Lord, O my soul. By the way, what's he doing there? He is talking to himself. Sometimes we need to do that. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. The all-encompassing aspect of the Word of God. God wants our all, by the way. He's not interested in part of us. He wants us all. Romans tells us about laying our lives on the altar as living sacrifices. He loves us. It's not because he's mean and a bully. It's because we need him. And we find our fullness in only him. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. All right, then on goes the list. Anyone there strike you? Yes. Amen. He's slow to get angry at us, right? If you were God, would you ever get angry at you? I think we all would get angry at ourselves. But he's slow to that, and he's a God that has the power to do anything to us. But he's merciful, and he's gracious. Praise the Lord for that. Others? How many iniquities does he forgive? Well, no, I did that one thing 25 years ago, and it's bothered me ever since. He's forgiven that. He's forgiven all of it. By the way, why has he forgiven it, brothers and sisters? Because?
He loves you.
And? Because he died for us. And he's able to do that. He heals all your diseases. Now, how about that one? Does God always heal physically here in this life? That's right. I should have brought the lyrics with it. There's a beautiful song done a number of years ago now by Wayne Watson called Home Free. I don't know if any of you ever heard that song. Home Free. And in the chorus it says, at the ultimate healing, we'll be home free. In glory. Every last one of us are going to be healed of anything that's wrong with us the moment our Savior comes back. So he will heal our diseases. His timing is not always ours. That's the thing. We get upset about his timing. But we shouldn't. We should trust him. He redeems your life from destruction. None of us here as believers in Jesus Christ will see the flames of hell. We are saved by the mercy and the grace of God and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. He took hell upon himself to save us and set us free. There's many things in here. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. That goes along the lines of he's merciful and gracious and slow to anger. I love this one. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, right? Nor punished us according to our iniquities. He knows what we deserved. But you know what? Question for you. Is he sitting around thinking about your sins? And the reason he's not is because they're gone. They're forgiven. You're cleansed. You're free. By the sacrifice of Christ alone. And he gives you his Spirit as a gift, fills you with his joy and peace in believing. His mercy is great toward those who fear him. Vertical and horizontal. In this psalm, it talks about how his mercy is great toward those who fear him, as the heavens are high above the earth. I didn't look up how high they are, but they're high. And if heavens is plural, meaning the firmament, the galaxy, and then the stars out there, that's pretty far. His mercy is incalculable. And then what's this way? East and west. What has he done? He has removed. I said they were gone. He has removed our transgressions far from us. How far is the east from the... Where is the east? I never know. When I'm inside a building, I have no clue. I barely know when I'm outside. Which way is east? That way, I'm told. So that way is west. How far apart are those two things? Well, if you keep going infinitely, right, which theoretically you kind of can go, they never meet. Your sins are gone. He has removed them. And not because of any righteousness we have done. He pities those who fear him. The righteousness of the Lord goes on to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. Why are we saying all this? Because when we're praying to him in our times of difficulty, and we're seeking him throughout the day, when things are good, when things are not good, always. Who are we talking to? This great God who's done all that and loves us and has the power to do what is needed. He's sovereign also, to mention that from the psalm. He has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all. His angels, his hosts, his ministers of his, they all his works in all places of his dominion are to bless him. That is who you and I are talking to. And he's listening. And he answers. Do you believe he answers your prayer? I hope so. If we don't believe it'll make any difference, then why would we bother praying, right? But it does. I remember my dad's ministry. He always ended his slides. Just remember slides? Those little... They were great. He had slideshows. I think I would always see this picture of me when I was like, I don't know, five or something. He would tell you, this is the family, this is where we were when we came to this area and so on. But anyway, at the end, he had a little picture of a sign that said, prayer changes things. It does, because he does. And when we're talking to him, He has the power to do anything that we ask. I thought of this song, seemed appropriate for here. This was done by the Imperials way back. And it's Jesus Never Fails. I don't know if you've heard this little song. So many souls have tested him throughout the course of time. So many still reach out to him with broken hearts and minds. And every one of them will say, with no exceptions, that they find Jesus never fails. Even in the days of old, he brought his people through. And then he came to show his love and died for me and you. Then he rose again to prove every promise had been true, that Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails, Jesus never fails. You might as well get thee behind me, Satan. You cannot prevail, because Jesus never fails. Sometimes this world brings troubles we find so hard to bear. I know you could not make it without Jesus being there. It's so encouraging to know, however deep you're in despair, that Jesus never fails. So what can I do to prove this to you? Tell me, how can you deny? No untold facts, no mysteries. It's all so cut and dried. On the witness stand of your life, I'll be the first to testify that Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. You might as well get thee behind me, Satan. You cannot prevail, because Jesus never fails. So, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Why? Because you're talking to God. He listens. He cares. He's done everything for you. He has the power to meet whatever your need or situation is, even if it's internal. Even if the struggle's in here, he can help you. And then we are to thank him as you pray because of all he's done before. We see that in the Psalms a lot, where he reminds himself of previous victories. Because of all he is, even thankful for the trial you're in. Now that's tough. But we know that God is in control of all of that. And something good is coming from it, even if we can't see it. For all the good, thank him for all the good he is going to do in, through, and because of whatever is on your mind. And I believe that as we do that, and the more we do that as Christians, we find our whole perspective change and strengthen us as we do. One source said, Paul exhorted the Philippians to prayer instead of anxiety. Praying with thanksgiving involves trusting God. Four words are used here to describe a believer's communion with God. Prayer describes a believer's approach to God. Petition emphasizes requesting an answer to a specific need. Thanksgiving is an attitude of heart which should always accompany one's prayers. And requests speak of definite and specific things asked for. A couple more thoughts. Spoken concern, another SC. Let your requests be made known to God. You have something you want. You have something on your heart. Tell him. Speak it out. It's a verbal thing. Let your requests be made known to God. Tell him what you want, and also be sure to let what you want be powerfully influenced by the Holy Spirit within you. Have you ever found the Lord changing what you care about over time? It actually starts kind of big right from the beginning, right? The newborn believer. They're all excited. They're all changed about stuff. Sometimes when we get older in the Lord, we get a little tired. But it doesn't have to be that way. In fact, we should be growing in the wisdom that the Lord has given us. Speak it out to him. Let your requests be made known to God. Tell him what you want. When you speak it out to him, it shows that you believe him and are willing to open your heart to him. Now, one final thing, and that's the supernatural consequence. I don't know if we think about this enough. What is the result when we do this? According to this two-verse passage, what's the result? In us. It says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God, his promise here says that this will be ours, no matter what the circumstances. Peace, by definition, one source said, is of Christianity, the tranquil state of a soul, assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God, and content with its earthly lot of whatsoever sort that is. Another one says it's not merely a psychological state of mind, but an inner tranquility based on peace with God, the peaceful state of those whose sins are forgiven. The opposite of anxiety, it is the tranquility that comes when the believer commits all his cares to God in prayer and worries about them no more. Another said, when the exhortations of these verses are heeded, the peace of God will flood one's troubled soul. The Lord Jesus Christ is a believer's peace, and every child of God has peace with God through justification by faith. But the peace of or from God relates to the inner tranquility of a believer's close walk with God. We have peace. My dad used to tell me, mention my dad again. He used to talk about that all the time. When he would share the gospel, he was telling, you're looking for peace in your life? God is the source. Yeshua, the Messiah. He ministered to Jewish people. He is the source of peace for you. And according to this, what kind of peace? A peace that surpasses understanding. What does that mean? That means your mind can't comprehend it. What is this peace that I'm having in my heart, in my soul? I can't explain it. It's something that is beyond it. Understanding is the intellect, the mind, the reasoning, the faculties of perceiving and understanding and feeling and judging and determining. How in the world do I have this peace? Because it comes from Almighty God. It's supernatural. It transcends all understanding. It is beyond man's ability to comprehend. Do you and I have that? Do we? I hope so. I want to see more of it in my life and practice these verses more. Being anxious for nothing, in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. By the way, that's a military term, which means to protect or garrison by guarding. Like soldiers assigned to watch over a certain area, this source said, God's peace garrisons the hearts and minds, that is, the emotions and thoughts of God's children. His peace protects us. And it's supernatural, it's beyond our comprehending. Both hearts and minds, feelings and thoughts. Wiersbe says, the result is that the peace of God guards the heart and the mind. You will remember that Paul was chained to a Roman soldier. We mentioned that earlier. He was guarded day and night. In like manner, the peace of God stands guard over the two areas that create worry: the heart, which is wrong feeling, and the mind, which is wrong thinking. When we give our hearts to Christ in salvation, we experience peace with God, and the peace of God takes us a step farther into his blessings. He also says this does not mean the absence of trials on the outside, but it does mean a quiet confidence within, regardless of circumstances, people, or things. And he cites an example. Before I read that, I thought of this example, which is Daniel. Remember when they told him, you can't pray? And what did he do? He prayed. When he knew that it could mean they're going to throw him into the lions. We like cats in our home, but not those cats. You stay over there. You know, have a nice life. And they were hungry too, by the way. They kept food away from them so that they would really do maximum damage. And he says here, when the king announced that none of his subjects was to pray to anyone except the king, Daniel went to his room, opened his windows, and prayed as before. It's in Daniel 6, 1 to 10. And he prayed and gave thanks before his God. It goes back to the Old Testament. Praying with thanksgiving in the midst of trouble, in the midst of trial, and in his case, his life was on the line. And he made supplication. Same thing as this passage. Prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. And he concludes by saying, the result was perfect peace in the midst of difficulty. Daniel was able to spend the night with the lions in perfect peace, while the king in his palace could not sleep. Daniel was fine. Not the people that got thrown in afterwards, but he was fine. Peace in the midst of my storm. There was actually a song with that. Here's a little bit from that. When the world that I've been living in collapses at my feet, when my life is shattered and torn, Though I'm windswept and battered, I can cling to his cross and find peace in the midst of my storm. There is peace in the midst of my storm-tossed life. There's an anchor. There's a rock to cast my faith upon. Jesus rides in my vessel, so I'll fear no alarm. He gives me peace in the midst of my storm. As we conclude, I'd like to read a very brief psalm, Psalm 100, which is actually called a psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for this incredible couple of verses in Philippians. To be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, to make our requests known to you. Father, help us to do this and to experience that peace that comes from you in a way that cannot be explained, that we cannot understand, but it guards us, it helps us as we navigate through this life. We praise you for this reminder, and we pray that you would help us to apply it in our lives as we conclude this evening. Thank you for this Thanksgiving season, and we pray that as we gather tomorrow with family and friends and enjoy the day, may our hearts be drawn to you, may our souls be praying throughout the day, seeking you, speaking to you, being anxious for nothing, walking in peace, and seeing you do tremendous and wonderful things. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to hymn number 790.